B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hour number three, Felger and Maz. Felger here from the remote A-hole chair. We got Maz and Murray in our Town Fair Tire Studios at Dorchester. Felger and Maz here on 98.5 The Sports Hub and simulcast across New England and the country on NBC Sports Boston. It's presented by DraftKings. Maz's text was a simple, generous offer of him to join these Zoom calls if it will help raise some money. So I'll take off my shirt and make fart noises in my armpit, and Maz will, what?
Breathe heavily into the mic.
Breathe heavily and snack into the microphone. No, he'll do whatever. We'll do whatever it takes to raise some money for Jake. So whether you just want Felger solo or a Maz sandwich, whatever, we're all willing to jump on and help out and all of this. So again, 98.5thesportshub.com or christmasinthecity.org. Thank you, Maz, for that offer. We appreciate
sure, absolutely.
It. Okay, so back to your phones on everything. Start off talking the Patriots and all these opt-outs, which we will circle back to. Right now we're on the Red Sox and the Kelly suspension, which I don't shed a tear for Joe Kelly. I think he's a clown, but it is too bad. That was going to be a fun storyline this whole year. Teams going after the Astros. Is that now over? Has Rob Manfred effectively ended that storyline? Joe in Beverly. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Couple things while I'm listening to your show today that I'm thinking of here. One, like, Joe Kelly now gets a suspension. You say no one's going to do it, but what about the opposite? What if people start taking off and they get out of this COVID situation? They can go home now. They can spend time with their kids and they get paid. And two, you know, all the teams now, you know, they're trying to do their best to stay healthy, but when we get a champion, when the teams go to celebrate, what's going to happen then? They're going to share the champagne. They're going to drink out of the cup. How's it going to be then?
Yeah, well, that'd be what we call a classy problem to have. You know, let's hope we're debating whether the Bruins should sip out of the same cup or not. And we'll figure that out when we get there. But is he somehow implying that Joe Kelly, this is the win for Joe Kelly? He gets to go home and make money and not expose himself to COVID? He loses his salary during this, right?
Correct.
Never mind, there's a fine on top of it to the league. And then who knows what the quarantining is coming back and all of that. This is not a win for Joe Kelly.
No, no, it's absolutely. I honestly wasn't even sure what point he was trying to make. So, no, it's not a win for Kelly. Kelly got hit hard here. The only win Kelly gets in this whole thing, if you subscribe to it, is that his teammates are happy he did it for events that happened 3 years ago.
We've got Colin in Boston. Go ahead, Colin.
Hey, guys, how's it going? I just wanted to let you know, in May and June, when I was listening to the show, I was telling all my friends and family how much I was not going to watch the MLB anymore. I was sick of the players being selfish, and I was staunchly against it. Now here we are last Saturday. It's my girlfriend's birthday. I'm watching the clock to see if I can go catch the Yankees-Nationals game as soon as possible. And so I just want to let you know myself, huge hypocrite when it comes to watching baseball. I'm super excited, that and the Bruins.
Yeah, of course.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, well, especially baseball. We can hate on baseball. It's the only thing playing right now. And so I'm there. I'm there for most of it. I'll tell you what, Maz. Last night was a good product.
It was, yeah. It was a good game last night.
It was a good game. You know, even if the Red Sox had lost it, it was a back-and-forth, nip-and-tuck, one of the best pitchers in the game on the other side. I mean, it was that was, I consider, the first real ball game of the year for the Red Sox.
Yeah, it was a real baseball game because, again, the first one was a complete ass-kicking. He had an inferior opponent. It was a 13-2 runaway. And the next four, the Red Sox are sending minor league pitchers to the mound. They're behind 3-0 at the end of the second inning every night. And, you know, they're getting blown out the other way. So it was the first time you had a competitive game with, you know, big league pitching on the mound for most of the night, if not all of it. So it was. It struck me, too, watching it. I said, well, finally, you got a game.
Yeah, and not only that, was it competitive and actually an easier watch. From an aesthetic standpoint, something about that Citi Field and their fake fans, I liked. I don't know what it is. Their cutouts I like. Dodgers, not so much.
Yeah, I think it's important just to have something down there, even the goofy cutouts. I don't like the empty seats behind home plate. Christian in Foxborough, your thoughts?
Hey, what's going on? So I heard you guys say that the Mets had every chance to, you know, win the game, which I agree. I mean, I thought the Red Sox kind of got lucky, so therefore I thought it was a fake win. What do you guys think?
Not quite a fake win. I wanted to say J.D. Martinez had a swinging bunt for a cheap RBI that gave him the lead. And then they extended it to three. But then I think Alonso had a cheapie down the right field line.
Oh, big time.
Maybe that ninth inning that sort of brought that back. So there wasn't really anything fake. I mean, Brandon Workman didn't necessarily deserve it on one hand. But on the other hand,
I mean, the Mets are going to that was peak Mets, the way that they blew that in the ninth. Like, you know, I want to say that that's more of a Mets loss than the Red Sox win. But, you know, the Mets just suck. So you give it to the Red Sox. That was their best win.
Yeah, I'm not drawing anything from it until they do it consistently. That's my only point. Again, they've won two games. Evaldi's been on the mound for both. As soon as it's anybody on the wheel of gutless bums, they're toast.
But there were some not fluky things outside of Evaldi, though. Like, you know, Zue Lin's defense was awesome, and Christian Vasquez was like the best player in the Red Sox last night. So.
Sure.
But bottom line, we got deprived of a really good loss, and that would have been a fun loss to sink our teeth into, Murray. Tom and Quincy, your thoughts?
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, I want to talk about the lineup situations. Renicki's thrown out the first few games, but the only winner out of that whole Astros thing by Manfred, by setting the tone that no one can get back at the Astros for anything, is Bregman, because that prick should be plunked every time he comes up to the plate. So the fact that ain't going to happen is kind of disappointing.
Yep.
But as far as back to the Sox, I don't like how, you know, one, they sat Bogaerts the second game of the year. He's your best player. And I think, if I'm correct, the only guys that have been in the lineup for all six games are Jackie Bradley and the Peraza kid that plays second. So I don't understand how, you know, Pilar hits when he's in there. He's not in there every night. But Bradley's a staple in center field every game so far. JD Martinez batting second. Peraza bat ninth, fifth, third, first. I mean, you name it. Like, set the lineup and be done with it. But can you keep the best player on the friggin' team in the lineup every game and not put Zue Lin in?
Direct, you know, send a electronic mail to the nerds. There's no way that's Renicki. That's no way the interim manager is managing it like that. The interim manager, he's a substitute teacher. He's there to just steer the ship. Take the syllabus and just, you know, paint by numbers. That's what he's there to do. And so whatever the front office is telling him is what he's doing. And the front office and the nerds and Zach Scott can tell me we're not handing a lineup as much as you want. But when you tell me that you're handing him grades and a number-based system, putting a player's value against a certain pitcher in front of him, he's going to take those recommendations. He's going to take those values and apply them to the lineup. So you are writing the lineup. And this is what nerds do. This is what nerds do. They finger bang the lineup on a daily basis just based on their numbers. And so that's what we're seeing.
So I can't imagine that Bogaerts is a stat-based thing. I don't know what the hell's going on there. Obviously he has some sort of net, and I know he smashed his face on the ground making that tag play at third base in the Orioles series. But, like, he played the next night.
He played that whole game.
Right, and he played the next game. So, like, all of a sudden it's like now he can't play? Like, I don't, now, there's clearly something nagging going on, but I'll say the same thing when they sat him the first game. He got in the game again last night. I mean, it's not like, you know, they used him anyway. So what the hell's the issue here? I'm mystified by what, why are they managing workload in a 60-game season, six games in?
This is all I needed to read. Athletic headline, Ron Renicki sinks. S-Y-N-C-S, sinks. With Red Sox analytics gurus in new ways. That's all I needed to see. Ken in Marshfield. Go ahead, Ken.
Yeah, you guys are driving me crazy earlier talking all this negative stuff about the Red Sox. And we waited how many months to see baseball? I get you have to be negative when they're doing bad, but they didn't have a spring training. And then plus with Kelly, Manfred gave him eight games because now this clarifies that no one's going to throw at them because they're not going to want to lose any player for eight games.
I know. That second part, I agree. That sucks. I'd love to see people go after the Astros all season long. On your first part, if you can't hate watch the Red Sox, then I don't know what to tell you. You're just missing out.
You're too young. You don't get it.
You don't get it, right.
Oh, you're they deserve out. It after those first five right. games. That was pathetic.
You were happy with that product? Come on.
Hate watching is the best way to watch the Red Sox. Are you kidding me?
It's the only way.
Oh, that whole love-hate thing. Fellowship of the miserable. I miss it. David in New Bedford. Hi, David.
Yes, I think the Joe Kelly got eight games because he has done this in the past, hasn't he? He's been suspended before.
So was he suspended? He did. Who was the clown? Is it Luke Voigt?
No, it was Tyler Austin was the guy, but he might as well be Luke Voigt.
Oh, it was Tyler Austin.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, David, he started the thing with the Yankees, and that's when he said, you'll come into my backyard or whatever. No, stupid, you know, macho man bull crap. He got suspended for that, right?
He did.
So, whatever. To me, and Maz raised the best point, they're hyper-conscious of, and they should be because they got players and teams dropping left and right, but the COVID situation. So no bench-clearing brawls this year. And so anything that precipitates a bench-clearing brawl, I think, is going to get extra punishment just because of that. So it's like, I think the eight games was beyond throwing at his head-ish or the retribution. To me, it was when you do the as the guy's walking off the mound, you are inviting a bench-clearing brawl. And I think that was the biggest thing of that whole incident there.
Oh, yeah, not to mention the nice swing, bitch. I'm sorry. I got a kick out of that. To hear Dusty Baker say it, well, that's not even the thing that got us mad was, you know, when he walked off the field, he said to Carlos, nice swing, bitch. And no, that's not how you say it. No, you don't say nice swing, bitch. You say nice swing, bitch. That is absolutely hysterical. Oh, I wish there was audio of that. That was so great.
More your thoughts on this story when we come back. Two takes that we hate more than any others. Two takes. One being Bill Belichick. It's all part of the master plan. And the other, well, I'll tell you what the other one is as well. One of the people we like the most on this show, one of our favorites, has ventured into that territory and goes 0-2. We'll discuss and tell you what we're talking about right after these words.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go on the Sports Hub app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
You listen sometimes because you agree.
I agree with Matt.
Sometimes, because deep down, you like the pain.
Pulling each other's shirts off and licking each other's faces.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
If people's resume shows me a history of being smart, prepared, and manipulative, then that's who they are. Most of the media in America believes a bunch of things are happening for the Patriots in the last 3 to 4 months, and they're all just random. You know, they just had a camera guy up in the Bengals press box to tape them. It was just totally random. Every time we think the Patriots are just doing something, the Patriots say, you know, it just, we didn't have any idea. We find out that they did have an idea and there was a plan behind it, because there's a plan behind everything Bill Belichick does. Yesterday, finally, an NFL executive went to Adam Schefter and said about all the Patriots opting out at the same time. He said, Bill's masterminding all of this. Schefter said, for what reason? And the executive said, I don't know, but that's who he is. Exactly. Every time the Patriots get caught with something, there's this, we don't know what you're talking about, and then we find out they knew exactly what they were doing.
So believe me, I'll accept any take that circles back to the Patriots cheating. Like, I'm all well and good with that. It's our buddy Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports. Big favorite of the show. But and the feeling's mutual. He gave us two takes, this was yesterday, that just send us up a collective wall. The first one I know is a big one for Maz, that everything, even in failure, everything's a master plan by Bill Belichick. It's what he had planned out. And so this is what Colin is saying with all of these opt-outs. They lose six players to COVID. No team has lost more than two. The Patriots lose six. And suddenly, that's part of the master plan. That drives you bonkers, right, Matt?
Totally. Look, it's preposterous that, like, he told these guys, look, I know you're opting out. Just hold the announcement. Wait for this to happen. I'll do this. You know, that is, to me, absolutely ridiculous. Because there's no way, and this is, you know, when I look at the opt-outs here with Hightower and Chung, is there any way Bill was happy about it? No, there's no way Bill was happy about it.
I mean, certainly Chung. They gave Chung a $3 million signing bonus. You don't give someone $3 million just to have him turn around and say, I'm going to sit out the year. You wait to pay him the $3 million if you want when he comes back. So there's no way that they're happy about that. I could see of them. You know, I mean, Chung took the money and ran, and, you know, good for him. There's not enough players who, you know, get it in their favor like that. So, like, you know, more power to you, man.
Yeah.
But are you asking me, are the teams happy about that? Hell no.
No, and I don't think they're happy about Hightower either, because, again, you don't, you know, there's no way that Bill says, okay, we're going to lose the whole linebacking core in one off season. There's no way he does that. You know, we're going to let two guys leave by a free agency, and then we're going to encourage Hyde to opt out. That's what we're going to do. I just don't believe that. Now, when I was talking to Murray yesterday, I said, what I want to know is the timeline. And you said something earlier that, again, to me is part of the timeline. I would like to know what happened to get to this point. And when I say that, did they go to Hightower at some point and say, we want you to take a pay cut? I would like to know. Did they, did they start to get rumbling about it? And that's why they signed Cam Newton. I would, you know, that, okay, we got to try to entice guys to stay. I don't know. And I admit that this is speculative. The draft is too far back for any of the dots to really be connected.
That's not how you were talking yesterday.
I know, Murray. You're going to twist my words around. That's what you're going to do.
Well, the safety, I didn't see them drafting the safety.
I did, not in the second round. No, but again, there was rumbling back then that Chung might retire. And so, you know, Bill drafted two positions that guys, maybe those guys saw the writing on the wall from the draft. And they said, he's lining up to get rid of us anyway. And so, you know what? Now that COVID is hit, I might as well get out now because I'm not going to let him beat me to the punch. I don't know. I'd like to know the timeline. There's no way that they just called him up on 2 days ago and they said, we're out. Like, I want to know how it led up to it.
So who knows, right? Like, the team's impossible to predict or to know. So no one knows. But if I had to guess, Maz, it is what it is. That they wanted the guys to come back and they opted out. And that's that. Did they know before yesterday? Yeah, probably. But I doubt much longer. I doubt it was much longer that they knew. Cannon might be a little different. I mean, he had such pre-existing medical conditions that, you know, probably everyone should have saw that coming. Murray, you know, certainly had sources on that. But, you know, the team probably had that in mind. But the other guys, I mean, you don't sign the fullback as a free agent. Just have him opt out.
No way.
You know, it's like, the tip-off to me that it wasn't planned was the money. Pat Chung's guarantee. Signing bonus. You don't sign someone and give him upfront money like that if you think he's going to turn around and then sit out. So, and they can't be happy about that. On top of anything else, follow the money. So I don't think it was predetermined. But, you know, as it works with Bill Belichick, Maz, it's always part of some master plan. Now, Colin, as he likes to do, goes into something about there's always some sort of big analogy. This is on, let me cut out most of it because I just, you know, he goes on about how he had DocuSign stock and he had Starbucks stock, and sometimes you sell stock at a loss to help the capital gains, and that's what he did because he did so well on the DocuSign. He had to sell this. I mean, did you listen to this?
Yes, I heard some of it. Yes,
he had to sell the Starbucks for the capital gains, and that's what Bill's doing. It's akin to him selling a stock at a loss to help him in the long. So, like, we cut off most of it, but this is sort of his point. Go ahead, Jimmy.
You believe in the last 4 months, these are all random occurrences, what I'm going to speak of. Number one, they weren't remotely aggressive in free agency. Well, they always go after a couple people. Two, they let some really good players go, valuable, like Kyle Van Noy they like, that were marginally expensive. All right. Number three, they didn't have any real plan to replace Tom Brady. Sorry, Cam Newton was not a plan. It was a bad news coming, let's sign him. If it's a plan, you wouldn't have let the rest of the market have a shot at Cam Newton. You waited until everybody else had a quarterback. That's not a plan. And number four, now all their players are opting out. You think these are all random? This is the least random coach in the history of the league. This is the least random organization in the history of the sport. They do nothing without preparation. But I think this is one of the few instances where I think the fans get it over the media. The media doesn't want to say tanking. And I don't see it as tanking. The word scares us. I don't think they're tanking. Nobody buys stocks to lose, but you sell them sometimes. to catch a capital gain wins. The Patriots aren't building. They see there's three A-plus college prospects and about three teams in the league that need them, and they've got enough draft picks where they can move in more. So we keep winning Super Bowls. We got a bunch of equity. We're up against the cap. Let's let a few guys go, not be aggressive. Let's see what we got in Jarrett Stidham. And oh, darn, if we go 7-9 and have a 9 pick and outside of Jacksonville, nobody needs a quarterback, we get one. I don't think this is tanking. This is not tanking. It's restructuring. It's selling a stock at a loss to help you with some capital gains wins. Okay, so Warren Buffett buys stocks like Belichick. He's wired to buy stocks and make money with all of them. But Warren Buffett occasionally sells a stock. Belichick is wired to win all the games, but he does see sell a little to gain a little.
Okay, so that's the take in a nutshell. Again, I cut out a lot in the middle there, but it's not tanking, Maz. It's restructuring.
No way.
That's a classy way of saying, yeah, win never for Trevor.
Okay.
No way. No way. There's no way he's doing it that way.
All these national guys think this, though. They I don't know why. I guess because it's a sexy story. Maybe, you know, because, you know, they think Belichick is this master.
They do. Like, they think he's this savant.
And fine. That's fine for media people. But, you know, we read that tweet exchange that Adam Schefter had with some unnamed NFL executive. I mean, you work in the league. If you feel that way, like, keep your mouth shut. You just look like a complete fool.
So the people who, like, the league executives who are like, oh, he's got something up his sleeve, are pathetic. Like, Jesus. Good God. Could you be more scared?
Have some pride.
And pathetic? Seriously, you are pathetic if you think that. So there's two things that drive us nuts. Bill has it's all part of Bill's master plan, every single thing, and two, tanking for Trevor. And Colin Coward believes in both. He believes this is part of a master plan. I think he's wrong on both. You don't give Pat Chung $3 million guaranteed if the plan is to have him walk away for a year. That's just, you don't hand a guy $3 million to take a year off. This team does that less than any team ever.
You're ignoring the warning signs. This is about capital gains wins.
You're also ignoring that it's Patrick Chung, and we all know why he gets paid, right?
Which is why, Stu?
Hush money.
Okay, so there is another, we won't get into that today, but fair point on Pat Chung. That's a preferred client of Bill Belichick's, so maybe there is something else to it. But be that as it may, I don't think this is part of the master plan. I just think that their players, for whatever reason, are going to sit this one out. And we mentioned it before. I'll circle back to, you know, what I think it is, or, you know, what I hope it's not. But either way, it's not part of a master plan. It's just sometimes things just happen to the Patriots that are bad luck or not well planned out. Because as Colin said there, they do nothing without preparation. Yeah. How was their preparation last year on Antonio Brown? Did they do all their due diligence? What a complete knucklehead that guy is.
How was their preparation for Miami week 17?
Yeah, you know, I mean, so there's that, but like even in an off-season setting, did they do their preparation and due diligence on Antonio Brown? Did they sign him to a smart contract that took a lot of due diligence and preparation? No. Sometimes, just like everybody else, Bill Belichick flies by the seat of his ass, and sometimes he makes mistakes, and sometimes things don't go their way. It's hard to believe, but it's true, and I think that these opt-outs are one of those. Now, I don't think they're tanking either. And I certainly don't think they're tanking for a quarterback. Are they restructuring? Sure. Everyone in this league, and don't start me on this rant because you somehow thought you were immune to it. But everyone in this league, the good teams, the bad teams, the well-run ones and the poorly run runs, everyone, every once in a while, has to reset their roster. Everyone. As smart as you are, like, oh, you've gotten into no salary cap trouble because you're so smart. Nope. This year you've had no room until now because, like everybody else, your roster got old and expensive and you have to reset it. Every team in every sport, every once in a while, has to reset their roster. And that's where you are. So they are definitely resetting their roster. I'll take that. But in no way are they tanking, and in no way are they tanking for a quarterback. But Colin believes they are. We'll pick up that part of it right after Big Jim Murray's update. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Doing what they do best.
Now talk about soap opera.
Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
This narrative, 50% of these quarterbacks don't make it, was true my entire life. It is no longer true. Outside of Paxton Lynch, there hasn't been a first-round quarterback bust in 6 or 7 years. Can't say Josh Rosen yet because he's gotten no opportunity. It's about 80% make it because the league has changed. It's more collegiate schematically. Players don't bust in the first round. If you get Trevor Lawrence, it's hitting. If you get Justin Fields, it's hitting. If you get Trey Lance, it's hitting. It's no longer a 50-50 proposition. Now, it was my entire life. My entire life, it was a coin flip if a guy made it. It is not anymore. The game is more offensive. The rules are more offensive. There's more college schemes. This generation of college quarterbacks has been throwing 10,000 passes since they were 9 years old. These 7-on-7 Elite 11 camps, it's changed everything. The bust rate has plummeted. Mitch Trubisky seen as a bust. He's got a winning record. He won a division. He should have won a playoff game, double doink. And he's a bust. He's got a winning record. So it is not tanking. It is, I don't believe these are all random occurrences because I think the Patriots are the least random organization in the history of the league. Just how I see it, maybe I'm totally wrong. But I think they're going to end up in top 10 in the NFL in the draft. I do. They just don't have any playmakers. They don't have any special players. Now that Hightower and Patrick Chung are out, who are their special players? They don't have any. Cam running for his life.
So, Colin Cowherd, among others, thinks this is a master plan for the New England Patriots that somehow Bill is behind the opt-outs of the players or in cahoots with the players on the opt-outs. It's all a part of not tanking, he says, but restructuring.
That's a neat trick.
Right? Yeah. It's not tanking, we're restructuring.
It's not tanking, it's restructuring. You're ignoring the warning signs. It's about capital gains wins.
As part of this, he talked to Ryan Russillo, and Ryan Russillo said there's no way the Pats are going to do this for a 50-50 proposition in the draft. So that's what he was talking about. The quarterbacks in the draft, he says, are no longer a 50-50 proposition. And you go back through the years. And he says in the last 5 years, it's changed. And so I just wanted to look this up and see if he's right. So let's look at the first-round quarterbacks in the last 5 years, shall we?
Sure.
Yeah.
We're going to include this year, but I don't know how we, Joe Burrow, Tua, Justin Herbert, Jordan Love. We'll see. Last year, the first-round picks, Kyler Murray, Daniel Jones, Dwayne Haskins.
Only Kyler Murray is good.
I would say two of the three have promise.
Definitely. I think Jones has promise. I think Jones
fumbling, you stiff.
Well, he's his second year in the league. Would you say that Daniel Jones has promise, Murray?
No, bust. Over. It's only Kyler Murray.
Brady used to fumble like nobody's business his first couple of years, but that's another story.
Okay. Dwayne Haskins, I think, is no shot. I think Daniel Jones has a shot. I think Kyler Murray's going to be pretty good. Year before, 2018, Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, Josh Allen, Josh Rosen, Lamar Jackson.
All suck but Jackson.
I would say 3 out of 5 have a shot. Three out of five could be pretty good, actually.
So, let's see. I think Mayfield can be pretty good. I think Darnold can be pretty good. I think Josh Allen can be really good. Long way to go, but I'm not giving up on him. He's got a lot of talent. And Lamar Jackson's an MVP. So, I think 4 of the 5 you'd be happy about. If you drafted those guys, I think 4 of those 5 teams are happy.
I'd be down on Mayfield if I were a Browns fan. But anyway.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is probably his last year there.
You don't think he can play?
Meh.
2017, Mitch Trubisky, Pat Mahomes, Deshaun Watson.
Mahomes, Watson.
2 out of 3 are excellent.
So, and he says even Mitch Trubisky, the sucky one, should have won a playoff game.
He blows.
That's just foolish. That was a terrible take. Boo.
2016, Jared Goff, Carson Wentz, Paxton Lynch.
Man.
So
Two out of three are starters in the league.
Yeah, and he did say Lynch was obviously a fail. Obvious bust. But he says the rest of them aren't really busty. Even Mitch Trubisky should have won a playoff game. He says Josh Rosen, we don't even really know. No one's given him a shot. I'd say he's a bust. If you're on your second team and you're still not considered a starter, your second year in the league, and you were drafted 10 overall, you're a bust. I'm sorry. I'm putting that in the bust category. And I don't think Dwayne Haskins is going to be anything. But does he have a point? Just in general, is it less risky to draft a quarterback than it used to be?
Yes. I mean, I have felt this way for a while now. Again, now you said less risky. Yes. Yes, it's less risky. The position's easier to play than it's ever been before. That's what it is. They're all spreading these guys out. They're letting them run all over the place. The whole thing's built around the quarterback. You can't do anything on defense. You can't hit the quarterback. You can't hit the receivers. You can't. The position's easier to play now. So is it less risky to draft one in the first round? Yeah. Yeah, it is. I mean, I think you can integrate a guy. But to Coward, what I would say is, this is why they think they have something in Jarrett Stidham. That's part of it. Like, we'll see how the year pans out, but because I disagree with the whole tanking thing anyway. I don't think Bill is going to deliberately lose or put himself in a position to lose. I just don't think he's approaches it that way. I don't think it's his mentality. But in terms of the quarterback thing, yes. Easier to integrate a quarterback now, yes.
Yeah, so, to a point. I mean, you can scheme it to make any stiff look good, to a point. Look at Goff, look at Garoppolo. But at some point, you need to, you know, have the stones and have the it factor like Patrick Mahomes so you can actually win a championship. So I still think it's difficult. Yeah, you can draft a guy. And again, if you have the coach, the scheme, you can make it look good, to a point.
Murray, you are in for a rude awakening, man. A spoiled Patriots fan. Like, everybody sucks other than Brady and a couple other guys.
Well,
everybody
I got the sucks. Bucks. I'll be fine.
But like, why I think it's like Adam Jones too. It's like, why you guys even watch you why do you even watch the league if you think everybody sucks?
To laugh at it.
Good answer.
Okay. You're in for a rude awakening about what really sucks and what doesn't suck. I would say the general premise that the hit rate is much higher than it was the previous 5 years is true. Because if I go back through the previous 5 years of first-round quarterbacks, I'm giving you a list that goes Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota, Blake Bortles, Johnny Manziel, Teddy Bridgewater, E.J. Manuel, Andrew Luck, Robert Griffin, Ryan Tannehill, Brandon Whedon, Cam Newton, Jake Locker, Blaine Gabbert, Christian Ponder. So those are all the first-round quarterbacks the 5 years previous to that. I don't even think half of those guys can play.
Right.
Me, that whole list I gave you is like two or three guys.
That Locker, Gabbert, Ponder draft, that same one as Cam Newton?
That's 2013.
Yes. Oh, yes. Wow, what a horrible draft that was. Horrible quarterback draft. Those guys all suck.
Newton went one, then Locker, Gabbert, Ponder went 8, 10, 12. Holy crap.
Oh, yeah, that was garbage. They were all garbage.
Never mind, 2013, E.J. Manuel.
That's what I was
2014, about. Blake Bortles, third overall. Manziel, Bridgewater's okay. You know, so, like, I do think it has improved. It's not as dramatic as Colin made it sound. But here's what I know. They're not freaking tanking for one of these quarterbacks. That makes no sense to have Bill Belichick as your coach just for him to tank. You know how much money the Crafts could save themselves? You could blow Bill out of here. Never mind his kids. Save all that money. Hand it over to Josh. Let him go 2-14 for a third of the money. And then if you're just going to, you know, center it around the quarterback, what do you even need Belichick for? You need Belichick if you're not going to center it around the quarterback. Now, you get lightning in a bottle and Tom Brady, and you put them together. Now you're talking about the greatest ever, which is what you were. But when you, Murray, when we're back on planet Earth, and you'll realize this in a couple of years, you know, when you got to deal with it like everybody else, we've been through this a million times. Do you think after these opt-outs that tanking is any more of a possibility, Maz?
No, I don't. I just don't think Bill's wired that way. No, I don't think they'll do it. No.
And so this is why...
They might lose more, but he's not going to tank, no.
Right, thank you. This is not the plan. This is not the plan. You don't pay Pat Chung $3 million to sit out a year. And you don't take, you know, Dante Hightower all this way just to have him sit out. And you don't let all your other linebackers go. I mean, you made a good point, Maz. You know, if they know Hightower's gone or want to push him out the door, they don't let Van Noy and Collins leave. They leave themselves something there. You know, something to chew on. They don't let all three go at once. They don't do that. So that was not part of the plan. They planned to compete this year. They planned to compete with a different quarterback and see how far it would take them. And that's what they meant. And that's what they're still going to do. That's what they're still going to do. I just think with all those guys gone, it's going to be a heck of a lot harder. But this tanking business, good God. We're back to tanking for Trevor, are we? Don't get me started with that. Your thoughts in our long commercial-free segment next.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Did they say it?
I didn't say that. Yes, you did.
Yes, they did.
Well, you said it. You said it. I can prove that you said it. You said it.
It's Felger and Maz. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Keith in Vermont. Go ahead, Keith.
I think that they might be tanking to get Trevor Lawrence. They've got a ton of picks they could package.
Here we go. They're not going to tank for Trevor Lawrence. They're not going to suck bad enough to get the pick, and their division's not good enough for them to get the pick.
Just so many reasons why they're not going to tank. I don't want to lose my mind. I'd like to get to put this on a loop, and so Jimmy can just press a button. There's just so many reasons they're not going to do it.
I take one.
One, Belichick wants to catch Shula.
Two,
prove he can win without Brady.
Three,
the division still blows.
Four,
the coaching still blows.
Five.
Should we keep going? Like, how many reasons do you need to know they're not going to tank for Trevor Lawrence?
Yeah, but what about that saying, one step forward, two steps
back?
Oh,
my God, it's 2020 so ridiculous.
Two steps back.
Oh, God, please.
You tank it.
God, please, would you stop it?
Win never for Trevor.
All right. On the opt-outs, just to reset quickly how we began the day. First of all, I'm surprised. It's very rare that guys who have a chance to make real money and still play at a relatively high level for a competitive team walk away. It just almost never happens. And Dont'a Hightower left $8-9 million on the table. Pat Chung was in a little bit of a different situation because he did just get paid. He got all that upfront money, so it's a little bit of a take the money and run situation. But he left a couple million bucks on the table. Marcus Cannon left somewhere between $5-7 million on the table. And it's rare, Maz, in that league more than any other, when you got your chance to make money and cash a check, you pretty much got to do it. And that's the way those guys approach it. So when someone doesn't, it tells you, you know, it tells you it's a pretty big decision, and it's an outlier decision. So, you know, we talked about it. There's only been, 26 players across the league who have opted out. That's the number. Well, how many players are in the league? You know, what's 60 times 30? You know, whatever. There's, you know, we're talking about thousands of players. So
1,800 yeah. Players.
So 99% of the guys are still playing. And so you've got a half dozen that aren't, and you've had six opt out, and the most any other team has suffered is two. So what's going on there? And one thing that I point to is Belichick, and I just wonder about it, because a lot of people think, and I was listening to the commentary the last couple of days, a lot of people think that if Tom Brady were still here, that these guys are staying, to which I say, well, Bill Belichick's not enough to get you to stay. You know, like Hightower, Chung, these defensive guys. It's like you're a competitive team, a division favorite for the best coach in the history of football. That's not a lure. You're only staying or would stay because of Brady. Is that true? I mean, maybe it is. Maybe it is true. But, boy, that says something about Belichick's juice. Maybe Bill's lost some juice in all of this. And he's not much of a lure. And let me take it one step further. It also says something about Cam Newton. And I just can't help going to the coverage of this guy when he signed in the next couple of weeks, the hype train with Cam Newton from the media and himself, the way this guy's carrying himself. My God, you would think that, I don't know, would those players, if they would stay for Tom Brady, they're not going to stay for Cam Newton? Apparently not. So Cam Newton has no juice to get these. They don't look at it and say, well, Cam Newton's here. We got a chance to go to another Super Bowl. I mean, I know fans feel that way. I know a lot of media feel that way. I guess the players don't. So that's one thing I look at as well. I also think, Maz, that these opt-outs are going to leave a real mark. And like I said earlier, it has me rethinking my position as the Patriots, you know, winning the division. I've had the Patriots winning the division since last year, saying Brady was gone. I've told you I thought the Patriots would win the division with Brian Hoyer. I thought they'd win the division with Jared Stidham. I think they'll win the division with Cam Newton. But that was predicated on a smart, tough veteran defense that could take Bill Belichick's coaching. In other words, I had them winning the division on coaching. But you've got to have players there that can take the coaching and execute the coaching. And I know Hightower can and Chung can, and you know I know these other guys can. If you start to whittle away too many of those guys, you put in some kid who's year one, year two, just out of Michigan, there's no guarantee he's going to take that coaching. And now I've sort of lost, in these veterans having gone, I've lost my coaching advantage. And so I think those are real losses, and if they lose any more, forget about it. And this has me really rethinking what the Patriots are going to be this year.
Well, it should. I mean, I was blindsided when I saw the Hightower thing. Cannon, I was not surprised by. If you had told me David Andrews, no, I wouldn't have been surprised. Absolutely not. And Vitaly and Bolden, I mean, I wasn't predicting it, but I'm not shocked. And, you know, again, they're role players. So fine. But when I saw Hightower, I was blindsided completely. And I went, whoa. Like, that's a big one to lose a guy like that. And then Chung came right after that, and you look at that one and say, wow, like, how many hits can you take there? I don't know how you can look at them the same way without those two players. I mean, that's a major change on defense. Mike, those Hightower in particular, that guy's an anchor. He's an anchor. You know, he wore the dot on defense. Brady's the quarterback of the offense. You lose your, you know, you lose your brain there on both sides of the ball. I mean, that's a hard one to fix.
I think these developments are game changers, and it's got me. It's the only thing that's got me. I didn't rethink my prediction when Hoyer was going to be the quarterback. I didn't rethink it when Stidham was going to be the quarterback. I didn't rethink it when Cam Newton was going to be the quarterback. I didn't rethink it after what I thought was a horrible draft. I didn't rethink it after a do nothing free agency season. The entire time I've been consistent and on this train. Belichick's going to coach him to the division next year. I felt that way for a long time. This is the first time I'm doubting that, because I think these losses, and especially if they have any more, are that important. So there's the reset on the Patriots. We also talked some Pastrnak before. We talked some Red Sox before. The Joe Kelly suspension. All of it. Right to your calls, I promise, after Murray's 90-second update. There are no commercials here.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.